Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris Perry, and that is the sonification of a black hole released by NASA last week. Sound waves from a black hole in the Perseus galaxy cluster, resynthesized and scaled up hundreds of quadrillions of times higher than their original frequency so that they're audible to us mere humans. And maybe the most amazing thing is that it's not even the most amazing thing that we found out about black holes this week.
Today, the Event Horizon Telescope is delighted to share with you the first direct image of the gentle giant in the center of our galaxy, Sagittarius A star.
On Thursday, the Event Horizon Telescope team shared its image of Sagittarius A, or Sag A star, as the cool astronomy kids call it. It's the Milky Way's own supermassive black hole. And when I say supermassive, that's because this area in space is 4 million times the mass of our sun, with a gravitational pull so strong that not even light can escape. Until 2019, we had a total of zero images of black holes. We relied on a lot of math and observation of stars orbiting around something we thought might be a black hole, but we couldn't actually see anything.
Black hole star, won't you come and wash away the rain? Black hole star, won't you come, won't you come?
So you know we needed to talk to Chandra Prescott Weinstein. She's a professor of physics and astronomy at the University of New Hampshire, as well as the author of The Disordered Cosmos, A Journey into Dark Matter, Space-Time, and Dreams Deferred. Chandra, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Hi, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
So why is this new discovery significant and not just cool?
Wow, I don't know if you can separate those two things. I think part of it is it's spiritually significant, right? So Sag A star is the black hole that is at the core of our home galaxy, the Milky Way. So this is our local giant, right? As they said at the press conference yesterday, one reason that this is scientifically exciting is that it allows us to study more closely how black holes pull matter into them. And it's allowing us to gain insight into one of the big mysteries about galaxy formation, which is, did the black hole come first? Did the galaxy come first? And are black holes and the presence of black holes in the galaxies affecting how star formation is happening and maybe actually shutting down star formation?
Do we have some initial answers to those enormous questions?
Yeah, so insights like this are going to be part of an analysis that happens over, the next few years. And in fact, the Event Horizon Telescope, which made these observations, has already started to beef up its instrumentation and has added new facilities that are coming online right now. And so over the next few years, we're going to get clearer observations that are going to start to help theorists put the picture together. I think the other piece that's really exciting about this is that it provided yet another test of Einstein's general relativity, which passed with flying colors.
All right. Why is it so hard to photograph these?
So first of all, dust. You know how dust really annoys you in your house, right? So, one of the first things that you might think about is, well, why don't we just turn the Hubble Space Telescope in the direction of the center of the galaxy and take a picture, right?
Right.
And the big problem is that an optical telescope is just going to see a lot of dust and gas that's completely obscuring it. And so actually the Event Horizon Telescope is in the millimeter. So it's basically a radio wavelength, and the radio can get through all of that dust and actually get to us. So part of it is getting the frequency right. And then another piece of it is that you need an instrument that can handle all of the variation. And so actually Sag A star, the image changes over the course of hours. It's highly variable. And so it takes a lot of computational machinery to analyze the images and get the averages out. And it also requires what we call long baseline astronomy. And so this really meant using telescopes from around the world that coordinated with each other so that they could capture a good image.
First of all, I'm not sure if anything could make me more excited than hearing you say that radio is the more powerful tool here. And so I want to ask you about this other piece that I'm completely fascinated by as a sonic and audio person now, and that is the sound that NASA released this week, this sound of a black hole. What does it mean to say that what we're listening to is the sound of a black hole?
So the way that I would think about this is that with images that we take with optical telescopes and infrared, and even with radio, we often false color them to help people see the differences between the different regions. And so similarly here, the signal has been transferred into sound and translated into sound. I think translated is really the right word to help us have a sense of what exactly we are dealing with. One of the things that I really appreciate with the sonification process is that it takes into account that not all of us experience the world in a visual way. And some of us are hearing, but not visual people. And so this is really a way to use all of our senses to gain some intuition for what's happening out there in the universe, right? And it's awe-inspiring. I think that's the beautiful thing about it.
Simply because I know the depth of your work and the intersections, to hear you talk about the false colorization in order to see difference and then the power of translation into sound, I feel like there's a whole nother 15 minutes we need to go. But until we get a chance to do all of that, can you tell me what spaghettification is?
So look, gravity, it's powerful, right? So we're really talking about the trajectories of particles, whether they're light or whether they're something more massive, like an electron, being stretched out by the intensity of gravity because black holes are just so massive. In the case of this one, it's like squeezing 4 million suns into one. And so that is going to cause things to get stretched out as they orbit around the center, and you get spaghettification.
Such a good name. Chanda Prescott Weinstein is professor of physics and astronomy and a core faculty member in women and gender studies at the University of New Hampshire. Chanda is also the author of The Disordered Cosmos, A Journey into Dark Matter, Space-Time, and Dreams Deferred. Thank you for that out-of-this-world conversation, Chanda.
Thank you so much.
And if you want to see the image, check out our Instagram.
Hey, my head. Drown my fear till you all just disappear. Black hole sun, won't you come and wash away the rain? Oh, black hole sun, won't you come? Won't you come?
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.